Good evening. We'd like to welcome everyone to this evening's council meeting for Mesa City Council for Monday, December 10th, 2012. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's an honor for me to serve and to conduct this meeting. We'll begin tonight's meeting with an invocation from Pastor Mike Cash of East Valley Free Will Baptist Church, after which we'll be led in the Pledge of Allegiance by Councilmember Dennis Kavanaugh. Please rise for the invocation and the pledge.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege that we have to come to you. And Father, we do thank you for the country that we live in, the place that we live in, where we can worship our God as we choose. And Lord, I do ask that you would be with our leaders, both nationwide, statewide, and certainly here in our city. And Lord, I do thank you for our mayor, our council members, and all those who work behind the scenes for our city and within our city. Lord, I just ask that you would guide and direct and even be in this particular meeting and all the decisions that are made. And Lord, we thank you first and foremost for your Son dying on the cross for our sins. And Lord, I ask that you would guide and direct in all that's done and said. In your name we pray. Amen.
Please join me in the pledge. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. Thank you. This evening we have some very special guests with us. We'd like to introduce from the American Chinese Art and Culture Exchange Association for the Asian Festival, which was held this year at the Mesa Arts Center. I apologize if I get your name wrong. Yayu Koi, the president, Cheng Li, the artist, and Xizhang Chen. Close enough? Nobody's answering, so I guess whatever. I'd like to turn over to Councilmember Kavanaugh, who was involved in this and has some further things to say.
Thank you, Mayor. Councilmember Glover and I had the opportunity to attend the festival at the Mesa Arts Center on behalf of the city this past fall, and it was a wonderful event that first came to Mesa a year ago at Mekong Plaza and then moved to the wonderful venue of the Mesa Arts Center. And we had tremendous crowds at the festival. We hope they come again. And the closing ceremonies were very both enthusiastic and moving. And there was a very special presentation at the closing ceremonies of a gift to the city to commemorate the festival moving to the Mesa Arts Center. So I'd like to turn it over to Cindy to tell us a little more. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mayor, Council Members, Council Member Kavanaugh in particular. Thank you for your support of their event. I wanted to say on behalf of the Department of Arts and Culture how very happy we were to be the host for the first time at the Mesa Arts Center of the Arizona Asian American Association Festival. And that festival is a partnership of the Arizona Asian American Association in partnership with the American Chinese Art and Culture Exchange Association. And we have representatives from both organizations with us tonight. And so I would like to introduce Mary Dillard, who is the president of the Arizona Asian American Association.
Thank you, Ms. Cindy. On behalf of the 4As, I'd like to thank the city for embracing us, thank Mesa Arts for having our venue, and also thank the Honorable Christopher Glover for our opening ceremony and closing it for Dennis. Thank you for your support. I would like to introduce Yayu Ko, who is the president of our sister organization, to introduce and present our gift to the city. Thank you.
Mayor Smith and all the councils, we're delighted to be here today to make this presentation. This is very exciting. The arts festival that we're here in Mesa brought people together, and this is what this is all about. And on the painting itself, we have the handout on the painting, the translations that are written on there by artist Fan Rong. we're bringing up the painting there. And this painting on there, he wrote, flying and leaping exorbitantly in the air is the horse in heaven, exemplifying selfless love and power in human character at its best form as the Chinese dragon, a symbol of peace and fortune at its best, being among mankind. And the thoughts behind this painting, while he painted it at the festival in Mesa, is that it represents our best wishes on behalf of the Asian community for great success to all the civil servants and workers who work tirelessly for our citizen, and give them the energy and power as the horse and as the hero, which is in the Chinese tradition, to exhibit in this artwork. And our artist, Fan Rong, he's a native of, he was born in China, and he is an American citizen, and his paintings have been loved and collected all over the world by presidents and in museums. So this is a valuable piece of painting, which I hope the city of Mesa will enjoy for years to come.
Thank you very much. We're very honored to accept this and appreciate our partnership. Had a chance to attend to some of the festivities, and it's a wonderful event, and we know that this will be an incredibly positive addition to the city of Mesa.
And Mayor, I'd like to point out that this is the artist, Mr.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Would it be okay for the artist to say a few words in Chinese, and I will translate for him?
Okay, we're
so delighted to see so many friends in this room.
Yeah, 谢谢市长和各委员们来收藏我的画。
Much thanks to the mayor and everybody in here who accepts my painting to the city of Mesa.
我想我们大家会今后更好地做成这个各个亚裔的。
Going forward, we wish that we will build and establish the relationship within all the people in Mesa with the Asian community and cultural exchange and arts exchange and for most of our people being working together.
我很爱美色。
I love Mesa.
Yeah. Thank you.
所以我把梅塞也画在我的画上，谢谢大家。That's
why he also drew Mesa onto the painting. If you notice, it's on the toward the background where the pink area is. It's the flatland. That's what the meaning of Mesa is.
如果这是他们100周年，我们就是一个记，给他一个纪念。
And also to best wishes to the anniversary of the state, also the 100th anniversary.
Thank you, Joel. What a beautiful painting. Thank you, Mr. Lee, for that reference to all the friends in the audience. All of you remember that as the evening goes along, okay? We'll now go to the next item on the agenda, which is the consent agenda, which will be read into the record this evening with by Mr. Kevin Christopher. Kevin?
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you are interested in speaking, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items in the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion unless a council member or citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3A, act on liquor license application for Downtown Mesa Association, one-day charitable event, Friday, January 4th, Main Street from Center to Robeson. Item 3B, act on liquor license application for Downtown Mesa Association, one-day charitable event, Friday, February 1st, Main Street from Center to Robeson. Item 3C, act on liquor license application for Downtown Mesa Association, one-day charitable event, Friday, March 1st, Main Street from Senator Robeson. Item 3D, Act on Liquor License Application for the Phoenix Lesbian and Gay Pride Committee Incorporated, one-day charitable event Saturday, January 5th, 932 East Main Street. Item 4A, Act on Contract to Purchase 17 Replacement SWAT Tactical Entry Vest. This purchase is funded through an Arizona Department of Homeland Security grant. Item 4B, Act on Contract to Purchase 20 new tipping refuse scale systems for the Solid Waste Management Division. Item 4C, Act to Renew Term Contract for Temporary Employment Services for the Mesa Convention Center and the Mesa Arts Center. Item 4D, Act on Contract to Purchase 7 replacement CNG automated side-loading refuse trucks for the Solid Waste Management Department. Item 4E, Act to Purchase 2 replacement heavy-duty trucks for the Transportation Department. Funding is from the fiscal year 12-13 Vehicle Replacement Fund, the Transportation Operations Budget, and the Local Street Sales Tax Fund. Item 4F, Act on Dollar Limit Increase to Term Contract for Tire Rubber Modified Surface Seals for the Transportation Department. Item 4G, Act on Term Contract for Temporary Employment Services for Qualified Electric Utility Personnel. This contract is funded by the Enterprise Fund, Electric Subfund, and Enterprise Capital Projects Funds, and the Electric Bond Fund. Item 4A, Act on Workers' Compensation Self-Insured Surety Bond Renewal. Item 4I, Act on Extension and Dollar Limit Increase for the Security Services Contract for the Mesa Arts Center and various city departments and facilities. Item 4J, Act on Contract to Purchase a Replacement Internet Access Infrastructure Solution for the Information Technology Department. Item 4K, Act on Term Contract for Water Main Condition Assessments. This project is funded by the Enterprise Fund and Capital Projects Funds. Item 4L, Act on Contract for City's Annual Replacement Program of Personal Computers for various city departments. Item 4M, Act on Contract to Purchase 2 Replacement Electro-Hydraulic Modulating Actuators for the Brown Road Water Treatment Plant. Item 4N, Act on Contract for the Chicago Cubs Spring Training Facility and Riverview Site Development Baseball Complex Package. Funding is available in the fiscal year 12-13 Cubs Stadium Bond Program. Item 5A, Act on Contract for Remodel for the Mesa Center for Higher Education, 245 West 2nd Street. The project is funded by the Economic Investment Fund, which is included in the city's Enterprise Fund. Item 5B, Act on Contract to Purchase New Furniture for the Mesa Center for Higher Education, 245 West 2nd Street. Project is funded by the Enterprise Fund and the Economic Investment Subfund. Item 5C, Act on Resolution authorizing City Manager to enter into a lease agreement with Wilkes University for the use of Mesa's Center for Higher Education, 245 West 2nd Street. Item 5D, Act on Resolution authorizing City Manager to enter into a lease agreement with Westminster College for the use of Mesa's Center for Higher Education, 245 West 2nd Street. Item 6A, Act on Resolution approving the street name change from 8th Street to Rio Salado Parkway from the West Mesa City Limits to Country Club Drive. Item 6B, Act on Resolution authorizing City Manager to accept the Memorandum of Understanding with the Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, Firearms, and Explosives to provide funding for overtime earned by Mesa Police Department officers assigned to the ATF Task Force. Item 6C, Act on Resolution to extinguish a portion of a 20-foot-wide public utilities easement at 2605 North Power Road. Item 6D, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to enter into an intergovernmental agreement with the Salt River Pima Maricopa Indian Community for the receipt and distribution of Proposition 202 funds for the Mesa Fire and Medical Department Immunization Program and the Guerrero Rotary Park Revitalization Project. Item 6E, Act on Resolution authorizing City Manager to enter into a lease agreement with the East Valley Adult Resources for a portion of the property located at 247 North McDonald. Item 6F, Act on Resolution authorizing the City Manager to enter into a lease agreement with Serine Adult Daycare of Mesa for a portion of the property located at 247 North McDonald. And Item 7A, Act on Subdivision Plat Chrisman Gateway, a replat of Chrisman Commons East. This is the 1700 to 1900 blocks of South Chrisman Road, located north and east of Baseline Road and Chrisman Road. Mayor and Council Members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Is there any item that a member of the council would like removed from the consent agenda? We have a request from the audience to remove item 6A from the consent agenda, so item 6A will be handled separately. Okay. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda by Councilmember Summers, a second by Councilmember Higgins. Is there any discussion? Please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative, and the consent agenda is approved. The next item on the agenda is item 6A, approving the street name change from 8th Street to Rio Salado Parkway from West Mesa City Limits to Country Club Drive. And this is comes from a recommendation of the Mesa Grande Community Alliance Steering Committee to change the name to make it put it in conformance with the name of the street as it runs westward through Tempe. We have a couple of people who have asked to speak on this. Mr. Bob Myers. And he'll be followed by Juliana Hansen and then Lucille Hansen. Mr. Myers, you have 3 minutes, and watch the lights right in front of you. Thank you, sir.
I'm Bob Myers at 1441 West 4th Place in Mesa. I'm here to speak about the name change of 8th Street to Rio Salado Parkway. The names of roads do make a difference. When I was a young man, there was a road in Mesa called Transmission. It was a passable two-way road. The name meant little to me, and I wondered why it was called Transmission. Later, it was renamed University. The new name immediately tied me to Tempe and the fact that Arizona State University was near us. Right now, right now, the name 8th Street doesn't mean that much to me other than the fact that it's north of Main Street, eight blocks. However, its location has far more meaning to Mesa than that. We are joined by the Salt River Corridor to many cities and their amenities. We have many common interests with Scottsdale, Tempe, and the Indian Reservation that come together at this location. We are joined socially, economically, and with the new legislative District 26, we even have political interests because Tempe and Scottsdale and the Indian Reservation are joined with Mesa in that district. As an example of the social interests, we have LDS church members in Mesa that have Mesa addresses and yet meet in Tempe buildings. The same is true of the Mesa residents that meet on the Salt River Pima Indian Reservation. Many of them live in Mesa. People come here to visit the Mesa Grande ruins and attend Westwood High School. People come here to shop our stores, eat in our restaurants, and to buy and service their cars in the Riverview Shopping Center. There's even a hotel and business office complex in the Riverview location. If we make this name change, those who have been drawn to Tempe by the Tempe Arts Center, ASU, Tempe Town Lake, and Tempe Marketplace will now have a common road to follow to Mesa that speaks of the Salt River Corridor and can lead them to investigate Mesa and its attractions. We are building an additional notable amenities that say Mesa with the Cub Stadium, softball fields, soccer fields, and the Riverview Park, which will have water features and upgraded playground attractions. It will be a Mesa signature park. And along with the Riverview Complex, they say, you have arrived in Mesa. We support this name change as helping bring a name recognition connection from the other cities to Mesa by attaching the Salt River name to Mesa. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Myers. Next, we have Juliana Hansen. Juliana?
I'm very much opposed and hope you do not pass this. It's been 8th Street from the beginning. We know where it is. It's going to be extremely inconvenient as, you know, trying to give directions and people that we already know where it is. Most of the people along those roads are lower income, and it's going to be an extremely financial hardship to have to change all of the documentations, all the documents that would be required against that. So I'm going to ask that you please leave 8th Street. If you want it connected, then change Rio Salado to 8th Street. But please don't change 8th Street's name to Rio Salado Parkway. Thank you.
Thank you, Juliana. Lucille Hansen. Yeah, do we have a... Ms. Hansen, we can try and get you a portable mic if you'd like. Well, it looks like she's...
I'm delighted to be here and want to congratulate all of you for the marvelous job you're doing for Mesa. And I have The first, I've been living on 8th Street since. The first stage of my home was in 1950 by my uncle George Hansen, and this is Juliana Hansen, is my cousin. But as I could afford it, we added to my home, and so I've been living on 8th Street for a couple of years. So, anyway, I am very definitely opposed to having my street changed to a long name. It would be difficult for me to have a return address that size. And the thing that is really not good is that the deed would have to be changed. And I don't appreciate that. I have foreign friends in Australia and Turkey and on a couple of other places that they think I had changed my house, which I have not done. Anyway, I am just saying, please do not change. If you want to have two names on it, that's up to you, but leave 8th Street so I can write to my people and say 8th Street is where I still live and I still love you. Thank you so much, and I was delighted that you began the service with a prayer and with a pledge of allegiance. That's really wonderful. I'm sorry for my tears, but I just, this city means a lot to me, and I thank you for the privilege of speaking.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Thank you for coming down here. We really do appreciate that. Councilman Richens.
Ms. Hansen, I appreciate you guys coming down, and Mr. Myers, appreciate your comments as well. I think it's important to note that you actually don't have to do anything about changing your name of your street. I didn't know if you were aware that the post office is going to take care of most of this, and that there'll be a shadow address on Rio Salado forever as 8th Street. So your friends in Australia and around the world can continue to send you mail to 8th Street, and it'll still go to your house. You don't ever have to even tell them that you changed it. Well, no, that's that we're going to have a joint street name for a year, but the post office actually can put a little computer, I don't know how they do it with the computer, but they've told us that they have a little shadow address that if mail ever goes to 8th Street, it would still find its way to you quite readily. So the other thing that the post office does, I call it the easy button, you know, those Staples commercials where you push the easy button and things get allegedly a lot easier with Staples products. Well, they should pay me for that plug. Anyway, the post office has the ability to notify. They notify all the GPS, all the map-making people, all of the financial institutions, including the county, of the street name change. So you don't have to worry about your title or your checks or any of those things. You can just change that address in the normal course of when you renew those items. And so it's a lot easier now than it used to be or may have been several years ago, which is great. You know, technology has really helped us out. So keep calling it 8th Street if you'd like. Leave 8th Street on your mailbox, leave it on your checks, leave it on all your correspondence. You won't notice any difference if you keep it on there. But I'm supporting the name change. One, the neighborhood group that I work closely with, Rio Salado, which is Mesa Grande, which is a coalition of a lot of neighborhood groups in West Mesa, came up with this idea and have worked with the city in doing some surveys and some conversations with a lot of folks, and really feel that a regional identity for that area is important economically and socially. A lot of connections between Tempe and Mesa in that area. And so I embraced the idea when they brought it up. I thought it was a good one. And through the vetting and the research we did, it's a lot easier to deal with than you may even ever imagine. And so for that reason, I'm going to support this street name change and hope my colleagues will do the same.
As far as I know, I don't think you need to change anything. So it'll be recorded at the county.
Yeah, I think that goes immediately. Like I think was mentioned before, there's a lot of streets that have gone through name changes.
But the paper that you sent out before, that was part of what it said, was that we're going to have to get our names changed.
Is Aaron in the room? Oh, there we go, Aaron.
There we go. All better.
Aaron is our project manager on this. Anyone answer?
So you're correct. Well, we're going
that's
electronic.
A good question.
Wait a minute. Let me.
So you're correct. Information will always be, correspondence will always be delivered to the residents and businesses along 8th Street. We have been reassured that, in addition, their address management database at the United States Post Office actually connects to databases with other state and local agencies, including banks, like financial institutions, Cox Communications, the list goes on and on. When an address is changed, all of these other institutions actually bounce their data against the post office to reconcile. And if there's a difference, they update their records. So it should be very seamless for the residents and the business owners. And again, we are going through this process. It would be effective in 90 days if approved. The street signage would be up for 12 months, dual signage saying 8th Street and Rio Salado, so there'd be no confusion to drivers who don't frequent that area.
Let's see we get into 10 months and there's still some confusion. Mm-hmm. We certainly have the option to leave the dual signage.
Absolutely. We were just kind of going off of practice across the country, other municipalities who have done this type of thing, and coming up with what was the best option for Mesa. And 12 months was kind of the standard that we created, but you're correct, Mayor. We could leave it up for as long as needed.
And then, as you know, to address the issue of changing address, if you have checks, if you have other things that have pre-printed address, all you have to do is just when those things normally, as Councilmember Richardson said, when those things normally are used and you go to reorder, you don't have to do it now. You can just wait till you use all those checks that have the 8th Street address, whatever you have that has the 8th Street address, and then just reorder the normal course of action, but just change the address at that time. So it shouldn't create any additional expense for you.
That's absolutely correct, Mayor. That is what we are going to be suggesting to people moving forward. Use everything that you have, and when it's time to reorder, then use your new address. As Aaron explained, that database will be in place, so there won't be an issue if anything comes to someone with the old address with 8th Street.
And if somebody has a question, who can they contact YouTube, can you get your contact information?
Absolutely. It would be either of us. We do have a website on mesaaz.gov. It's mesaaz.gov/8st8th Street. We also, on that website, have information on FAQs. We have further contact information, our hotline number. We also have a general email address. So we
is
are,
that 8th as in 8th? Or
yes.
Okay, so
yes.
It's not spelled out 8th. It's 8th.
And if I don't have internet access, is there just a phone number I can call?
Yes, it's 480-644-6450, 6450.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Any other discussion? Vice Mayor.
Just an anecdote, Mayor. I've actually been subject to this. Now, it wasn't as dramatic as changing the name of my street, but I went through a zip code change, which is, I found, had some challenges as well. And what they ended up doing in my neighborhood without moving is creating a new zip code because the zip code got too large, 85208. It's now 85209. I still get mail today to the zip code 85208. So if somebody were to write me who hasn't written in a long time, uses the old zip code, I still receive that mail. I had some problems with it early on. Most of those problems were trying to convince people there was an 85209 zip code. And what we would end up doing is switching it back to 85208, and the computer would recognize it. It only lasted maybe a few months, and that was 10 years ago. Today it's almost instantaneous to change because a lot of the companies at that time, it was much slower, it was manual input for a lot of the computer technology. So everybody had to manually input that there's an 85209. I think, as a matter of fact, Mr. Brady's had the same issue going through. So I suspect you will find that transition is easy. And over time, it'd probably be easier for you just to leave your address 8th Street. And as my wife and I did, we as our checks expired, we got new checks with the new zip code. Our IDs with the new zip code, our license and new zip code, everything seemed to go over fairly smoothly over a period of time without too much difficulty. And I think in today's environment, you'll find that moves quite quickly, more quickly than it did 10 years ago.
Okay, thank you. All right, there's no other comments? Please vote. Oh, wait, we have a motion by Councilmember Richens and a second by Councilmember Kavanaugh. Now, if there to approve the motion, if there are no further comments, please vote. The vote is 7 ayes and no nays. The motion carries. And just for the record, I have, I'm sorry, Ms. Linda Lloyd wanted to wish her support, but did not wish to speak on that issue. The next item on the agenda is item 8A. A little bit of background is I think, in order on this. This item is has been described in a variety of manners in the press and otherwise. So I thought that perhaps we could go back a little bit and just explain to everyone exactly what we're doing. On the agenda, it's talking about it's item 8A, adopting ordinance of the City Council acknowledging receipt of the report and recommendation of the Independent Commission on Compensation for Elected Official and increasing the compensation for the offices of Mayor and City Council. I'd like to read the exact ordinance so we can perhaps get a little bit of background, because what we are doing is we're not voting directly to change salaries. We're voting to accept a report from an independent commission that made a recommendation. And as part of that recommendation, they recommended that both salaries and expense reimbursements for council members be adjusted, in this case increased, I believe, in all cases, or else left the same. There was one that was left the same, and two, compensation and expense reimbursement, that were increased. The actual ordinance may give a little bit of background. It states that whereas Title II, Chapter 25 of the Mesa City Code established an independent commission on compensation for elected officials, the Independent Compensation Commission. And whereas the purpose of the Independent Compensation Commission is to establish a fair and reasonable compensation for Mesa's elected officials, the commission is to ensure that the mayor and city council are, quote, compensated for their time and effort on behalf of the city at a level that, one, is reasonable in light of the compensation paid to elected officials in other municipalities in the United States of similar size, two, will include the costs and expenses necessary to perform their duties, three, is likely to attract competent and effective people to serve in public office, four, makes public service possible for every eligible citizen, not just those whose financial status enables them to serve, five, takes into account the financial circumstances of the city, and six, is determined by an independent commission on compensation for elected officials. And whereas the Independent Compensation Commission is to provide a report and recommendations to the council within 90 days following its initial meeting, the, quote, the recommendations of the commission must be approved or rejected as a whole by the city council. In other words, we cannot amend these. Whereas after holding several public meetings, reviewing compensation data from numerous comparable cities across the United States, and holding a public hearing, the Independent Compensation Commission has submitted its report and recommendations. And therefore, we are voting to acknowledge the receipt, acknowledges the report and recommendations of the Independent Compensation Commission. Whereas Section 202 of the Mesa City Charter requires that any changes to compensation for the offices of mayor and city council be adopted by ordinance. In other words, it gives to the city council the responsibility of establishing, and no one else has that responsibility. Now, therefore, be it ordained by the city council of the city of Mesa that the city council acknowledges receipt of the report, the recommendations submitted by the independent commission. I hope this gives a little bit of exactly, I know it sounds like a technical issue, but it's exactly what we are voting on tonight. Is the report of this independent commission. We'll now move, because we have several requests to speak on this issue, and we'll begin with Mr. Otto Schill. He'll be followed by Mr. Tom Schulke.
Good evening, Mayor, Council members. Thank you for giving me a few moments. I am the chair of the Mesa Board of the Mesa Chamber of Commerce, and this issue was first brought forward by the Mesa Chamber. In fact, we had a committee that was primarily responsible for the drafting of the language that the mayor just read. We're here to speak in support of the adoption of this ordinance today for a number of reasons. First of all, we applaud the job that you as a group do. We think you do a great job for the city of Mesa. You help put Mesa in a positive light out in the community and across the country and in the state of Arizona. And our effort in bringing this ordinance to light in the first place was to encapsulate some of the things that we've seen you do that are positive so that people who sit in your chairs after you're gone would continue in that same vein. To be able to do that, we think that those people are going to need to be paid appropriately. As is the case with most nonprofit organizations, we think it's appropriate to have a periodic review of compensation for our elected public officials in the city of Mesa. It's commonplace for nonprofit tax-exempt organizations to review the compensation of their employees and executives regularly and make sure they're in compliance with appropriate rules, and we think that's an appropriate thing to do on a regular basis. We also think that the current compensation has been low for a long time. That makes it, frankly, difficult for qualified people to serve in your places, because if people have to leave employment to come do this and they're not adequately compensated, then it's a problem. So that was the reason that we started this conversation in the first place, and we think it's important that you go forward with it. One thing that I would remind you is that when we brought forth our proposal had two parts, the part you've just heard and then a part about the duties and responsibilities of the council. There needs to be a discussion about the appropriate duties and responsibilities and how that would all work. At the study session where we considered this back in May, I believe, you talked about having a future discussion. I suggest that would be appropriate, because I think it helps the citizens of Mesa understand why the compensation is important and why a regular review of compensation would be important. However, I wouldn't hold this piece up for that piece, but I would suggest that you go down that road and have a discussion so that you can define the role of council, the role of the mayor, and how that would be appropriate in the community. I think it will help citizens, because I understand that this is to some extent a political problem. You have to vote to accept your own pay raise, and that's not very comfortable for anybody. So we wanted to make it clear that this was something that the chamber put forward. We're in favor of it. Suggest you move forward with this and with the follow-up discussion.
Thank you, Mr. Schill.
Thank you.
Mr. Tom Schulke, followed by Ryan Russell. Mr. Schulke, you have 3 minutes. Thank you.
Tom Schulke, 7604 East West Canyon. I object to the word independent being used to describe the Commission on Compensation. The ordinance you passed in August setting up the commission required commission members to be selected by the council and set in advance policy that should have been the subject of commission deliberation. The commission did as it was directed. It was not independent. I keep hearing the claim that the council has not had a pay adjustment since 1998. Since 2001, the council has been eligible for cost of living increase in line with that given to city employees. Many Mesa residents see no cost of living adjustment in this tough economy. Before voting, please consider that a large increase in council compensation may result in the wrong kind of people seeking office, people more interested in money than serving the city. I believe the long-lasting ill will towards the council that will be created in this ordinance, if this ordinance passes, will discourage competent, civic-minded individuals from seeking to serve. Passing this ordinance is likely to lead to fewer quality council candidates in the future rather than the enhanced candidate pool you predicted in your August ordinance. If you feel you must vote for this ordinance, please reconsider your recent denial of the amendment to defer the effective date of the salary increase until July. Ask the city attorney if deferring the effective date 6 months would allow you to uphold the city charter's 6-month provision and the Arizona Constitution's equal pay requirement. Better yet, follow the suggestion made by the Vice Mayor as reported in the June 22 Mesa Republic. Do not make the pay hike effective until current council member terms will have expired. The discussion of this item has brought forth legal issues surrounding the city charter and Arizona Constitution. The conflict of interest I understand you have to declare indicates the problem with the council setting its own pay. I suggest you work on referring to the people a change to the city charter regarding council compensation. Do you want to be remembered as a council that fixed a broken section of the city charter, or do you want to be remembered as a council that schemed to double its own pay? I do also have a question regarding the mayor's introductory comments. I got the, and if you look at the bold print at the top of the ordinance, it says an ordinance acknowledging receipt of the report and increasing the compensation for the offices of mayor and council. So I see what you're doing is increasing your compensation. Please let me know if I'm wrong or if this has been changed since it's been printed. Thank you.
I'll let you know on that one. If you'll remember, I objected to that title because I did believe that the title was not completely in line with what we were doing. The city attorney stated that it was acceptable, so we'll go for there. Next is Mr. Ryan Russell. Thank you, Mr. Schulke, by the way. Sorry.
Good evening. My name is Ryan Russell. I'm the president of the Mesa Police Association. Mr. Mayor and Council, I want to thank you for the opportunity to get up here and speak this evening. The city's had a difficult 4 years. We've had some decreased revenue and forced to make drastic cuts in our city. We've asked employees to do more with less. But it appears the city is going to emerge from that period, probably a healthier organization. And it's going to be a healthier organization because of those difficult decisions that you've made as a mayor and council. Now, I don't view this increased compensation as a reward for doing a good job for the last 4 years. I view it as a tool to entice a more diverse citizen group to run for future council positions. The MPA wants a diverse group of citizens to run for future council positions and feels substandard compensation may prevent qualified and passionate people from serving in our community. I've seen sometimes firsthand the commitment it takes all of you to be on the mayor and council of our city. Many events around the city, I regularly see one, sometimes two or more of you there. You know, often I hear Mayor Smith, you talk about what a great form of democracy we have, that we get to get up here and present our differing opinion on things, and I agree with that. And one of our purest forms of democracy is our election process. And last month, we had an election here in our state and city and country. And what our state, what we learned from our voters at the state level, they resoundingly voted against Proposition 204, and they sent a message. But here at the local level, unlike the state level, they sent a message by approving our $70 million bond election tied to a secondary property tax. And that message they sent to us was they trust our mayor and council, they approve of the direction you have the city going, and they approve of the job you've done. The city of Mesa is a billion-dollar organization, and we would be hard-pressed in the private sector to find a billion-dollar organization that pays the individuals who are tasked at leading that organization, the board of directors per se, to pay them $19,000 a year. The last raise for our city council wasn't even in this century. It wasn't in the 21st century. So we want our mayor and council to be compensated consistent with surrounding other cities. In closing, I want to thank you, and on behalf of the 700 police officers and the Mesa Police Association, offer our support for the proposed compensation levels.
Thank you, Ryan. Ms. Marilyn Winterson. Good to see you back, Marilyn.
Well, thank you very much. I just have some random thoughts. Because I don't think that this has gotten sufficient publicity. Based on some things that were said previously, I hope the council remembers the city charter, that the council is a part-time council, and I think the mayor can probably do whatever he wants as long as it doesn't violate this city manager's, you know, like firing the police chief or something like that, you know. But council members, how many? There's a few of you that are employed full time, you know. So can you stay awake 24 hours to do two full time jobs? I just would like you to keep in mind how our charter is written, and if the city wants a strong mayor government, like Chicago style or other cities that have been compared to. Then have the proposed to have the charter changed. Some of my random thoughts had to do with not as much the salary recommendations, but something I don't know. I don't know the answers to, and that's the benefits. For example, there's a proposal in there to have them, every council member and the mayor are given $150 for mileage per month, or up to, that's what I don't know. And that's proposed to be $450 for the mayor for mileage and $300 for the council. I would like to know how that is implemented. That is, do the council members just get $150 check a month, or do they submit, I went here and I went there, and here's the total number of mileage per per council member, how that is operated? If I could have that answered, I'd appreciate it. Also, what about medical and dental? You know, what are the how does that operate with elected city officials? I just don't know. And we're probably one of the few cities that has a limitation of terms for mayor, which is now two consecutive four-year terms. And same with the council, has always had a limitation of terms. There's many cities that don't. So when you think of your max is 8 years, unless you're a council member run for mayor and you get elected two more terms, and then you can be a 16 or stay off for 4 years. But how many people that have a profession on occupation can do that? It's just things to think about. But anyway, that's all I'll say. I just would like a question on the mileage. Oh, I understand that apparently this isn't going to change. The council gets $80 a month now for the use of their own cell phones, I think. And if that's the same, you know, it's nickels and dimes, but still, it's just not explained. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marilyn. Mr. Brady, could you explain the mileage reimbursement? And once again, the amounts in the report are amounts that the commission determined and proposed. And so we can debate whether those are right amounts, wrong amounts, whatever, but those are the proposals, and this council can only accept or reject the report as a whole. Mr. Brady, could you coverage the mileage reimbursement and how exactly that works?
First of all, I think we need to be clear, it isn't a mileage reimbursement. That doesn't apply here. What we've done, and I think this is consistent across a lot of the studies we did with a comparison of other mayors and city councils and executives, is there's actually a car allowance. So it's a dollar amount, a flat dollar amount that's allocated each month for utilization of personal vehicles for city business. So there is no allocation or no calculation. There's no need for keeping records. We found that can be both difficult to manage on a daily basis, as well as just the administrative cost to do that. So what we've been able to do is to agree on a flat amount of a car allowance, a vehicle allowance, that's allocated each month.
And I would say one reason we do that is as I go into Phoenix to meetings of MAG, another thing, a lot of other mayors, and especially mayors, are provided with cars. The city has decided not to do that. We don't have a carpool or anything to use, and so they've decided for many years the policy would be to provide a car allowance. Would you talk about the benefits, medical and dental, and how those are determined for council?
Yes, Mayor, on the medical, dental, and vision, the mayor and the city council have been, and since I've been here, and I don't know how long it goes back, are eligible or are available for them to receive the same health benefits as any city employee. So they will pay the same premiums, they pay the same deductibles. They're not treated any differently than as any city employee. They'll pay the same amount out of their paycheck if they choose, depending on which plan they choose to sign up with. So,
and does this proposal change that?
No, it does not. That remains... As I understand it, the proposal would for that to continue as is today and as it has been for years.
Okay. Marilyn, did we answer your questions? Thank you. Thank you, Marilyn. The next person is Brian Jeffries.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. My name is Brian Jeffries, President of the Mesa Firefighters Association, 52 South Center Street. And first of all, I want to thank the commission volunteers coming forward to support the city and give a viewpoint of things that we need to look at in the city is always appreciated by everybody. Second of all, I just want to say when I got up this morning, I was getting ready to get about my day, and so was my wife, and this news story came on, and she was listening, and I was listening as we were getting ready, and your salaries were announced in the news story, and she goes, "Are they crazy?" She said, "They do that job for that little money? I had no idea." And I said, "Yes, unfortunately, that is true. We have a wonderful council, and Mrs. Wenderstrom talked about the part-time council. Well, being a part-time council member to close to $500,000 city is just nonsense. It may say that in the charter, but the commitment that you have all made to your constituents is not part-time. And in today's world, a lot of us work 2 and 3 full-time jobs, whether it's expected of us or not. And that is exactly what you all do. And the pressures put upon you and the service that you provide is tremendous. And as I was driving around the city today and I was looking at a bunch of prospective college students down on the corner, looking at their possible opportunities moving forward, I was looking at some of the development going on in university and a lot of other things. I realized that during some of those difficult times, we have a dream team in each and every one of you for leading this great city. And I also want to say that you're all going to vote tonight for reasons, and there's no right or wrong answer in this situation. People have different viewpoints about it. I do take exception to what Mr. Schulke said in that you'll be remembered how you vote on this based on scheming for yourselves. I don't buy that because you will be remembered as one of the greatest councils this city's ever seen. And regardless of how this vote goes tonight, you absolutely deserve this and more. And your firefighters and paramedics and emergency responders think the world of you. We support you regardless of how the vote goes. And the one thing I'll say on top of the pay issue is the service that you provide is very taxing on you and your families. And it takes a lot of time away from your families. And, you know, as we're going to go past the 500,000 person mark and we expand in the Southeast Valley, the services is just going to increase that, and the expectations on you all is going to increase. So beyond this pay issue, something I believe and we all believe that you guys need to tackle is the fact that you all are currently sharing staff members. That it needs to be tackled immediately, and I don't know why there's a holdup on that, but you all should have far more staff devoted to your services to your constituents than you have today. Certainly they've been blamed for more things than they deserve recently, and you guys should have a lot more support in that area as well. So on behalf of all of your emergency responders, and thanks to Brother Ryan to stand next on the same issue, we support you regardless of what you do, but you deserve the pay regardless. Thank you.
Thank you, Brian. And I failed to mention Brian also served on the Phoenix City Council, so I should have referred to him as former city council member of Phoenix. The last person to speak is Mark Schofield.
Mayor and City Council, appreciate the time given to me to speak. I'm here as a private citizen. I've volunteered over the years on various committees and served. And I know the type of work that you do and the amount of time that you put in, and it is quite substantial. And when I first moved here many years ago, and I won't go back that far, but I was shocked to see how little the city council was paid and the mayor, and that continues today. And it's surprising that a city of our size and magnitude is still back in the dark ages, so to speak, in the pay that you receive. Now, I do have one concern in what you read, Mayor, and that was it said something about to attract competent people to run. And I immediately thought, well, I thought you were competent. So this was
a
really,
relative term.
Well, I think you're quite competent as a city council, considering that you've cut over $100 million a year from the annual budget. And for people who can't, who have a hard time like me in understanding numbers until there's a dollar sign put in front of them, that works out to be $500 million in 5 years. That is huge savings for the city of Mesa and its citizens. In addition, all of the progress that has been made and the leadership shown by you in moving forward with the projects that we have, such as the universities coming downtown, Gateway Airport, the light rail, and the other things that you're working on. This is the type of thing that we have needed, the type of leadership we've needed for a long time. We need to continue to attract people of your competence level and interest and civic pride. I understand how some citizens might feel that, you know, you shouldn't receive this pay raise. Well, and in fact, that it would, keeping it where it is, would attract those who are really civic-minded. Well, taking that to the extreme, let's go ahead and not pay you anything and see who really is civic-minded in coming forward and spending the hours and hours of time that you do to serve your citizens. The committee report, I was the only public that showed up to the first few meetings of the commission, and I can tell you they put in a great deal of time and effort. This was not easy for them. They went through and made the comparisons that they did, and they came up with, in their final report, what I believe to be a fair and accurate compensation level for the city council and mayor. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Schofield. Okay, before we have motions, I need to repeat the I guess it's somewhat of a disclaimer that we did before. Our city charter requires that the city council establish a salary. That obviously creates a conflict because we're voting on something that might affect us. There's no way to escape this, and so under the way that we currently operate, and so therefore everyone on this council has a conflict. The city state law does allow us to vote on these issues when a majority of the council has that conflict, and as long as it's put in the record that there a conflict does exist. So that is that's on the record now. And we have a motion to approve item 8A from Councilmember Richens and a second by Councilmember Kavanaugh. I'd like to begin by just restating some of the history that you've already heard. And that is that a little over a year ago, maybe it was around a year, I and I think most of the council started receiving visits by members of the leadership of the Mesa Chamber of Commerce. And they basically had two observations and two recommendations, and one recommendation. One was that the city of Mesa has grown much since the days of that our charter was established and that many of the processes and the procedures were put in place. We're now the 38th largest city in the country, approaching 450,000 within our city limits and probably 500,000 within the jurisdiction of our city if you take into account county islands. There's no doubt that in the minds of the Chamber of Commerce, they believe that that city council pay had lagged, had not kept up with the growth of the city. And they thought that created an issue, a problem. They thought that it had a chilling effect on their ability to serve on the council, and that by that ability or that chilling effect, that you limited the people who truly could serve in a city. They believed that wasn't positive, and they asked us to make changes. They went through a variety of discussions and proposals, and what we ended up with was an ordinance that we enacted that basically recognized that this is an awkward situation. I don't believe this is a difficult situation. For me, it's not. But it certainly is an awkward situation. You don't ever like to talk about things and feel that you have a point in decision. But to me, it's not difficult at all. And that came up fairly clearly as we were debating 6 months ago the ordinance that established the city policy as requested by the Chamber of Commerce. And by the way, many citizens that came to me and asked. And if I could, I'd like to read this. And you've heard part of this before because this is listed in the ordinance that we are voting on tonight. This is in the actual ordinance that the City Council, I believe, approved unanimously. It shall be the policy of the City of Mesa that the Mayor and City Council shall be compensated for their time and effort on behalf of the city at a level that, one, is reasonable in light of the compensation paid to elected officials in other municipalities in the United States of similar size, two, will include the costs and expenses necessary to perform their duties, 3 is likely to attract competent and effective people to serve in public office. 4 makes public service possible for every eligible citizen, not just those whose financial status enables them to serve. 5 takes into account the financial circumstances of the city, and 6 is determined by an independent commission on compensation for elected officials. And through that, we set up a mechanism that we hoped would allow us to at least address this issue. I think there's one reason why this issue has not been addressed but more than a couple times in the 45 years since the Mesa City Charter has been adopted. And one is that there was no guideline. It simply stated that council compensation shall be determined by the council. That starts off an awkward circumstance from the very beginning. So the city council established a policy and set up an independent commission to look at the very things that we just read. To me, that showed true leadership. And that's when the decision was made as to how we would proceed on this. I don't think there was any confusion or any misunderstanding or any anticipation that this commission would come back and suggest that salaries would be reduced. First of all, the Chamber of Commerce was very clear from the beginning that their intent, they believed that salaries should be adjusted upward. I believe many citizens that approached me, independent of the Chamber of Commerce, stated that they believed that the salaries were insufficient. I think council showed leadership at that time when they adopted this policy and set in motion a process that would bring back a result that was completely foreseeable. Now, what wasn't foreseeable was the amount, the numbers. And this is where the independent commission did its job. And I commend them for doing a job which at times was itself a bit awkward, but which produced exactly what they were charged with doing, and that is looking at the compensation with one objective in mind. Can we create a structure that fairly compensates in a way that will include all people? I can tell you from 4 years of talking to people, encouraging them to run for council, it is a huge issue, the financial sacrifice. I believe that this council has not only undertaken this leadership, but has in other ways, by recent actions we took to actually reduce the number of, by significant amounts, in the case of the mayor's race, the number of signatures that would be required for someone to run for office. That was done before, well before, any of us ran free election. I think we have shown a consistent pattern of trying to establish a condition, an atmosphere where more people can become engaged in city government, not fewer. In many ways, by leaving salaries and compensation low, it is very exclusionary because it blocks out a huge segment of our city from serving. That's just the reality. And so we undertook this, and I believe we showed real leadership by taking on knowing what the outcome would be. Not knowing the amount, but knowing the outcome. I think that if you look at that process, and then you take what the independent commission did, and they followed it, it was a tough job, but they did it. They showed up, they did it, they provided a recommendation. The irony of this is probably the greatest controversy within the commission was whether the salaries in the final report were too low. A huge irony. I believe they are fair because I believe they set it right between where they should be. Somewhere between what the city of Tempe council members and somewhere with the city of Phoenix. You know, I don't know if those are right or wrong, but I do know that they are create a framework within we could work, and I applaud the commission for coming up with that. Frankly, my numbers would have been different, and I'm sure if you polled the members of this council, each one of us would have different numbers, but that's not the issue. The commission did their job. I believe it would be a mistake. I believe that while we showed leadership in establishing this commission, and we decided at that time and knew what the process would be, to now get to the end of that process, get to the edge, and now reverse would be the exact opposite of showing leadership. I don't think leaders take a group to the edge and then back off. I think that leaders follow through. Leaders go the distance. Leaders do what is right. It's been said that this is a dicey issue. Paper said that. I don't believe it's dicey. It's not dicey because it's the right thing to do. I believe that this is a step that goes far beyond how it will impact me personally or this council. I believe that this is an opportunity we have that doesn't come along very often, and that is to establish a pray framework that I hope will now give many people pause to seriously consider running for office, and that they will take that opportunity, and I would hope that our citizens will have many choices for many years to come, and without this action, that simply will not happen. So I will support this, support it wholeheartedly, simply because I think it's the right thing to do, and it is a continuation of the leadership that this council wisely chose when it adopted this ordinance in the first place. And I'll accept comments from anyone on the council. Councilor Cavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. Well, unlike everyone else on the council, for me, this is, as Yogi Berra said, deja vu all over again, because I served on the council in 1998 when, for only the second time in our city's history, the council voted to raise its pay, and it doubled the pay. 1986, the only other time the pay was adjusted, the council, I think, more than doubled its pay at that time. And I know those votes were not easy for members of the council in 1986 and 1998. But as I look at it today and put things in perspective, do you know of any other job in the public or private sector that has only had two pay rate changes in 45 years? I don't. Not even in journalism, for that's more reason. But the public officials always get squeamish about making pay raises. And Mesa voters, when they approved our charter, they said, hey, City Council, this is an issue, a decision that you have to take. And you should do it. You need to do it. The sad thing for us is that we've just done it on such a seldom basis for a whole variety of reasons. And so what we have tonight, it looks like a really big increase. But again, if you factor in inflation and cost of living from 1967 through today, what the independent commission is recommending is certainly not out of line when you looked at pay back then and where it is today. And I know that every time I've seen this discussion, whether it's in 1986 or 1998 or even today, council colleagues of today and yesterday were always concerned about, well, how is this going to affect my political future? How is it going to affect my elections? What will people do if I have to go out to the voters? And I can tell you, I've been there, done that. I had to stand for re-election after doing this in 1998. And I will tell you, people did not want council members' heads on a pike. It was not an issue of discussion in the elections at that time. Residents were more concerned with other issues, such as public safety, transportation. Are you going to build the art center? They look at your total record in terms of what you do. I think that voters today understand that mayor and council jobs really are full-time, both of them. The charter doesn't say the city council is part-time work. The charter, when it was enacted, had a differential in pay between mayor and council. But those distinctions have blurred throughout the years somewhat in terms of the amount of time that is spent. And I certainly know that all the council members I have served with throughout the years have really given it their best effort to represent people well. This year we've had two independent commissions that we were looking at in terms of making important and momentous decisions for the city, the Redistricting Commission and the Compensation Commission. And I had my questions and concerns with both of these commissions. And yet, with the Districting Commission, in the end, I came down, looked at what the commission members said, why they did what they did. I looked at their recommendations, and I voted to accept those recommendations. Similarly with the Compensation Commission, I had questions, concerns, disagreements with some of the decisions and discussions that the commission has made, but certainly they have made a very good faith effort to serve the community, to do the research. The research is there. It really shows you why their recommendations are reasonable recommendations. And so this is something that, as the prior speakers have said, it's an important decision for future candidates for office to consider. It's not easy to serve as mayor or on council. I'm lucky enough that, you know, for 22 years I've struggled to maintain my own business and do city council business as well. But if I had worked for another company or a big law firm, it would be very difficult for me to have really spent any amount of time. And so I've been fortunate to be able to do that. But others are not so fortunate. And I think we want to continue to attract good quality competent people to serve on the council. And so I would say, at least to my colleagues, look long and hard at what our Compensation Commission members recommended to you. Think back to when we had the districting discussion, and we even had some really strange-shaped districts that we had to deal with. Don't put future political races at the forefront of making decisions. If you did that, we would never have done all the wonderful things we've accomplished over the last 4 years. You know, it takes bold leadership and be willing to stand up for your decisions. And so I'm going to support the commission recommendations. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Councilman Richens.
To borrow a term from Gary Nelson, I don't have eloquent soliloquies like the mayor or Mr. Kavanaugh. So I'll keep my comments brief. First, I was a little offended by a term that was used here tonight allowing the right kind of people to run. And as that comment kind of settled in, I admittedly got lost in thinking about that comment and didn't completely pay attention to the qualifiers that I'm sure the commenter used after such a comment. But allowing the right kind of people to run is not something that I think should be welcome in Mesa. I think anybody should have the opportunity to do this job, and I've had a lot of fun doing it. It's been a very enjoyable experience for me, and I know I come from a district that has deep leadership. You could pick 50 to 100 different people in District 1 that could come and do this job for the compensation that's being offered today. However, I think there's another 200 or 300 people beyond that could come and do this job if they could just have a little bit more. I have 4 young kids. They're a blast. They're a lot of fun. I could be with them tonight. Instead, I choose to be here because I love Mesa, and so do my kids, and I want Mesa to be a great place for them to grow up in. I didn't ask to be put in this position to make this decision tonight. It's very awkward, particularly when you're discussing. Nobody talks about their salaries. Nowhere. You know, not in my real job that I spend 40 and 50 hours a week doing, which I also very much enjoy. But I'm gonna do what I think is the right thing and support this ordinance because I really want more people to have the opportunity to run and do this job and to be able to serve this community, which I think is because of the acts of previous councils and this council well positioned to do great things in the future, and I'm excited to be part of it. I'm proud of the service that I've rendered, and I'm proud to have the opportunity for 4 more years to serve. So with that, I'm gonna just support. Thanks.
Thank you. Any other comments? Vice Mayor?
Thank you, Mayor. I've just been jotting a few things down. I didn't come with any prepared statements, but first of all, I want to thank the commission for their hard work. it wasn't easy work, and from what I've heard, I didn't have the opportunity to attend any of your meetings, and I think it probably would have been inappropriate had I done so. But I heard it was almost as much fun as a planning and zoning meeting. So, and anybody who's been to a planning and zoning meeting knows what I'm referring to. So the work the hard work and the time and effort you put into this, I really do appreciate, no matter how this vote comes down. That said, I don't think your hard work is going to go for naught, even if this doesn't go the way you think it's going to go. I think there are some other opportunities that we should continue to discuss, because I agree with a lot of the comments that have been said. I think what you set as a council salary for the future makes sense to me. That target between a Tempe and a Phoenix, you know, larger than Tempe, not as large as Phoenix, but certainly the activity goes hand in hand. It makes it's logical the direction you came from. And all the comments that you have made, Otto and many of the others who made comments, were right on. When I ran for office, I think my son Tyler was 11 or 12. And my daughter was 9, and they were both so cute that I put them on my campaign signs, and they became known in their grade school as the poster children, which they hated. Tyler is now, he's 18 and attending ASU, and he's not cute anymore, so you wouldn't put him on a poster. I missed a big chunk of that life in the last 6 years. I left my daughter out, by the way, because she's still cute. She's probably watching. No, she's not. So, you know, there was a lot of time here. And my wife, against her better judgment, let me do this, knowing how small the pay is for the amount of work, not just once but twice, because she saw how much I enjoyed it. And I think she shares with me that same sense of civic duty and civic pride and pride in Mesa that I have, but rather than do it herself, which would have been the better deal for you all, she let me do it instead, and I really appreciate her allowing me to do that. But what has come out of this a lot from many people, I'm afraid, is that they really... And I almost break up when I hear this. Brian said it so well, that you're proud of this council, and, well, six of them. And I really appreciate that sentiment. But I don't want you to look at adjusting the pay because of this council, which, and I will speak for these six members, not necessarily for myself, is arguably, I would think, in many opinion anyway, one of the best councils collectively that we have ever had in Mesa. I say that also mentioning that we have had phenomenal mayors and phenomenal council members in the past. So again, it's collectively, I think, one of the best councils that we have put together. We don't always agree, but we're never disagreeable. We share a common vision, even though we may differ on the path. And I think that's what makes us get along so well and why we've accomplished so much in these past 4 years since the mayor and council took place. We passed just recently a parks package. We haven't done that in decades. And we didn't have to attach public safety to it. And, I mean, that's a huge success. The growth of the airport, bringing in the colleges, the new freeway systems we added, the transit systems, and the voters have gone back over and over again and supported economic development for the city, because I think that they have confidence in at least six members of this council. I'm withdrawing myself from that. So, and that has given us tremendous political capital, and I think that's why some of these things pass. There are other problems, I think, big ones, some of them, that we could tackle with that political capital rather than this. But that said, I also agree with the idea that we want to attract civic-minded candidates to make sure that they're properly compensated in the future, and that we, through proper compensation, enable more people to run for office. Six of us sitting here before you ran unopposed. Now, I would like to hope that was because there was such overwhelming approval of us, but, you know, as much as I appreciate that, sometimes democracy isn't well served. So I would certainly like to see future councils compensated. I started by saying that I thank the commission for this, and I don't think that even if this fails, that the commission's voice will not be heard. My problem isn't the amount and how you got to it. My concern is that we spend so much political capital, and the problem is the implementation, that I'm voting on my race. I think we can accomplish the goal of assuring that we get good people to run and enabling people in the future to run for this office if we find a way to implement this out in the future so that I'm not voting for my own race. I appreciate it, don't get me wrong, but I ran knowing I was only making $18,000 a year, and excuse me, my wife just texted that she's very angry with my vote right now. She ran too. She understood that it wasn't about the pay, and it isn't for me. I will serve whether it's $9,000 or $18,000, or if you just tuition. But I would support this coming back to us next year with an implementation date further out, so that I wouldn't be supporting my own raise. I just don't find that right, particularly in this environment. So, my comments. Thank you, Mayor.
Any other comments? Councilmember Higgins.
Thank you, Mayor. I think I came up from a different angle. I'm an engineer. I need numbers, and I need statistics, because numbers and statistics don't lie, only statisticians lie. Just so you know, that's a joke. You're supposed to laugh. So today, the current unemployment rate in the city of Mesa as of October 2012 is 6.7%. There are 222,830 in the labor force in Mesa, meaning residents 18 years and older that aren't retirement age. So of those residents, there are 15,000 of them that are currently unemployed. In September 2012, just this past September, total house sales in the Phoenix metropolitan area were 9,073. Approximately 3,000 of those houses, or a third of them, our sales were distressed sales, meaning foreclosures, short sales, etc. As an elected official, we didn't talk about this. I have the option to be in the elected official's pension system. On a yearly basis, the city of Mesa contributes to my pension fund $6,935 every year. I will be fully vested after 5 years in office, and I can start receiving a defined benefit when I'm 65. We never talk about that either. So I also have the ability to have medical insurance for my entire family through the city of Mesa. That yearly benefit is an additional $9,924. So for a part-time job, I'm receiving $19,000 in salaries plus an additional $17,000 in benefits. Together, I can add the two numbers, is $36,000. I think that this is a fair salary for a part-time job. I would never want to see someone run for office based solely on salary. Obviously, you have to have a heart for the community and for community service. It can't just be about the money. When you see your residents, 15,000 of them unemployed, when we see a third of all housing sold in the month of September were some type of foreclosure, yeah, or short sale or such, or distressed sales, they call them, people are losing their houses. So they're losing their houses, they're unemployed, and I can't, with any kind of clear conscience whatsoever, think that with a $36,000 salary, where that includes health insurance of a very high quality, I can increase my salary at this time. So I will, for these reasons, not be supporting the motion.
Thank you. Any other comments? I failed to read into the record these citizens who have shown up tonight. Ms. Stephanie Wright is in support of this. Mr. Craig Allstrom is in support of this. Mr. Spencer Wright is in support of this. Mr. Kevin Thompson is in support of this. Mr. Preston John is in support of this. Ms. Sally Harrison is in support of this. Mr. Augie Gastelum is in support of this. Mr. Bob Myers is in support of this. Ms. Linda Lloyd is also in support of this. You know, in hearing some of the comments, with all due respect, I still go back to wondering if this is that significant of an issue, why we're here. Once again, we put in place a process. We put in a process knowing where it was headed, and to come back now and state that somehow that process produced results which are now somehow offensive is, to me, does not show the kind of leadership. And I wish these would have come up before this council voted 7-0 to put in place this process. It would have been a much easier ride. We would have never shown up. We would have never had the independent commission go through and do what they did. So I will be constantly wondering on that case. To me, that's a lack of leadership, and I think we're missing. We're punting, and I would that would disappoint me. If there's no other comments, please vote.
I have a comment.
I'll
just respect, Mayor. I don't agree. Certainly the commission couldn't have come forward, and certainly I think they were handcuffed a little bit more than I wish to, and I don't want to get into details of that, but I reiterate, I think we have an opportunity potentially to come back with some minor amendments to this and enact what we are really concerned about, the ability to help others in the future run for office and be fairly compensated. I think we still have the opportunity to do that, and that the commission's work, with that understanding, I think the commission's work will be withheld, and I have a feeling that we would have support for that.
I
disagree with that your last comment.
I understand, and you have that right to disagree. I would say that I'll turn it over to Councilman Cavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. I have a question for the city attorney. Based on the way the state law works, I know it supersedes the city charter on when council changes in pay can become effective. If the council rejected the recommendations tonight, it's my understanding then that another pay increase, should it even be recommended tomorrow by the independent commission, could not take effect until after the next cycle of elections. Is that correct?
That would be correct, assuming, and I believe it's true because of the holidays. Council has to take action, and it needs to be effective by the time the new term begins, because we're looking at very early January when the
right.
new term.
And what I was getting at is if next year, you know, the council, if the commission reviewed the pay raises every year, if they looked at it, you know, in January or February of 2013, it's my understanding under state law that even if they recommended an increase and that recommendation was accepted by council, that could not go into effect until January 2015. Is that correct?
That is correct.
Thank you. Just wanted to clarify that.
And as we clarify that, because we have staggered terms, you will never have a time when council members are not voting on their own, because half the council, three or four, will be impacted by that vote. So there's never a time when this council can make a clean break. And I think I went through this thought process and wanted the same thing. Because I had an issue with it. And the fact of the matter is, that's why I said you'll never get a point in time where there will not be a conflict. Because you have staggered terms. If any council member leaves early for whatever reason, you could have at any given time four or more, and you will at minimum have at least three that will be impacted by the decision. Is that an ideal situation? No. It would be nice if we could have completely independent, say, here's your salary. I have no doubt what they would come back with. Unfortunately, that's not what our charter provides. Our charter gave us the responsibility, and we can't duck that. Like I said, it's awkward. It's uncomfortable. Councilman Richens said that. It's very uncomfortable, but it's what it is. And sometimes you do things that are uncomfortable because of the long-term benefit. And I don't think we'll ever escape this. In 1 year, I'm sure whatever the situation is, the conversation will still be, there will be at least three council members who will be impacting their own salary. And so you'll never get in a situation where somebody can pick and choose, well, let's wait until my salary isn't impacted. Well, somebody else will have theirs impacted. So that's just the nature of the game. And that's why early on as I looked at it, I had the similar sentiments. But I realized that we're constantly playing a game and you constantly wouldn't remove the political issues. I believe this is the exact kind of issue that you use political capital on because it is so awkward, because it does drive emotions, because it does, and the reason why it is not brought up very often is because of those emotions, those political considerations that, you know, human beings consider. I think this is exactly why you handle it at this time when you can make a long-term change. This isn't about me, for heaven's sakes. If you listen to all the rumors, it's going to apply to me for the next 4 weeks. Then I'm moving on somewhere else. If you listen to the rumors, I'm not saying anything. I'm looking at my successor. I'm looking at every successor for these council members, and I think that the timing is right, and this is when you okay. Oh, Councilmember Fenter now.
Procedural questions for the city attorney. I met with her about 15 minutes before our study session. I'm contemplating doing another motion in case this one fails. And would you please describe to me, or describe to everyone you described to me, the possibility or the timeline, if there were support for a second motion along this lines of it's pretty arduous, but what it would take in the next 2 weeks to accomplish that?
Yes, Councilmember Fenter, the question was asked, could we introduce and adopt a different ordinance before the council goes out of session or before the end of the year so that it would be effective when the council takes the new term. I've talked to the city clerk and she called her assistant, and we believe we can post, if the council were to introduce on Thursday, we believe we could publish on Friday, I believe. It has to be, council cannot take action less than 6 days after it's published. So we believe we could have it published in time so that council could introduce on this Thursday, take final action on either the 21st, which is next Friday, or the 24th, which is the Monday.
And again, to clarify, I'm not talking about amending or changing the commission's recommendation. I'm talking about amending Section 12 of the ordinance specifically that talks about time for implementation. And after this vote, Mayor, I hope you'll grant me the opportunity to maybe make a motion and look at something different.
I'm not sure I'm... I mean, once again, before us is an issue. Yeah. I don't know what your proposed amendment would be.
Would you want to hear it before the vote?
Well, what your ideas are, it does not affect the vote, but obviously you're looking at something with the anticipation that it would be made in a response to a vote. So, yeah.
Okay. I'll throw it at you. I need to read it because I put a lot of thought into it, and I stumbled through this quite a stressful meeting here. It would be that I would make a motion to accept the Compensation Committee's recommendation with appreciation for their hard work on this difficult issue. I move that a minor change to the wording of Section 2 of the actual ordinance be refined to say the Commission's compensation recommendations will begin immediately following the next mayor or council election. And that would be it in a nutshell.
First of all, if you reject, I don't see in the council how if you reject this report, would this be brought up through a motion of reconsideration, or what would it be done?
Yeah, I'm not because rejecting the report in my vote.
We would
I'm
have
rejecting
to reject
the ordinance implementation date.
But
procedurally, Mayor, I think you are correct. If we take a vote and the council rejects the recommendations of the commission, then Councilmember Fenter could make a motion to, it in effect is a motion for reconsideration, but it's altering or amending that one section in the ordinance.
Not so, the commission's report, but the
right.
Ordinance itself.
Correct. Which would only impact the effective date of the recommendations, similar to what we discussed.
I was going to say, didn't we go through this last week?
Well,
yeah.
We did.
Councilmember Councilmember Richens made a motion to change the effective date to July of 2013.
No, 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 no. He made, no, not the effective date, the implementation.
That's the implementation, exactly, correct.
The effective date is still January 1st. The implementation would be July. But what you're saying is if we reject the report.
No.
No. Well, you either have to approve the report and then issue the, and then make a motion to change implementation of the report.
Yeah, if
or, and as question for you, couldn't we implement at any time completely separate from the from accepting the report and the ordinance? The effective date, I mean, each council member could in effect implement themselves by rejecting the pay raise if they wanted to. They could give it back to the city.
Well, I've been down that road a couple of times, and you cannot reject that pay by ordinance.
No, I said pay it back to the city. Pay, yeah. give it. If you don't like it, give it to that. Let's get back to what Councilmember Fender's talking about. If you accept the report, isn't, because the report is silence as to implementation.
Correct.
It only is effective date. Now, could this council, which is what we talked about last week, have a separate date for implementation of the items inside the report?
I think the challenge comes in looking at the wording of Section 2. In the ordinance, it says effective January 10th, 2013, the compensation of the offices of mayor and council member will be as follows. And then it sets forth the recommendations of the commission. I agree there's a difference between effective date and implementation, but I believe the intent here is that as of January 10th, 2013, the compensation has changed. So that is, in effect, the implementation date as well.
So moving it forward, if we make the change where we talk about implementation, if implementation and effective date are the same, if we move the implementation back, then does that then preclude the kind of specific date on implementation that we are saying we need to, we have a hard time implementing because the this needs to be effective January 1st.
But the ordinance will be effective, but right. Because the language contained in the ordinance says the compensation is changing on January 10th, 2013, that is what I believe Councilmember Finter is considering making a different motion.
So what exactly, I mean, tell me exactly, in section, Councilmember Richens.
This doesn't seem any different than the motion that was made last Monday about the implementation date, except for instead of July 1st, it's following the next election of council and mayor. Am I understanding that correctly?
I believe that would be the substance of Councilmember Winter's motion.
Okay, so would the ordinance change to say the effective date of the ordinance is January 1st? The implementation then shall be with the wording. Is that what the proposal is, like we were talking about last week?
Somewhat similar to that, yes. I think
this has to be effective the 1st of January.
Right. The ordinance has to be effective at the beginning of the term, which I believe is January 8th, but when you're sworn in.
Okay. So what you would be saying is the effective date is January 10th, Councilmember Fender, you would say the implementation, the effective for implementation would not take place till after the next council. That's the amendment you would want to offer up.
leaning towards that, let me just make sure I say it correctly again. The commission's compensation recommendations will begin immediately following the next mayor or council election.
Is that, I got questions with that kind of delay, whether that actually is constitutes an acceptance of the commission report, since it appears that the intent of the commission's report, I don't think would be to I just want to not argue in one way or another. I just want to make sure that a delay of at least 2 years, doesn't that get away from the spirit of the commission activity?
I believe that would be up for the council to decide, Mayor. I'm not sure because the report itself is silent.
Okay.
So it doesn't specifically address that issue.
Okay. Councilmember Higgins?
I have a question. If it's a normal election, that might be 4 years away, right? If it's
it'll be 2 years.
Mayor or council. But supposing, like the mayor says, he's gone in 4 weeks, we're joking, then that next election could be whatever time. How many weeks does it take election after you call one, 12 weeks? 120 days, that's...
Well, no, okay. I think that the ordinance, the charter provision just passed. I think probably the next mayoral election would be the 14 election, unless we chose to do something earlier, right?
Correct. If the office of mayor is vacant for more than 2 years, there would have to be an election. It could either be a special election or at the next regular election.
But realistically, that would probably shift into either spring of 14 or fall of 14.
Yeah, and I contemplated that when I used those exact words. The spirit of it is trying, as the mayor so pointed out so well, that because we're on two different election cycles in the council, it'll never be right. It'll never be together. But whatever triggers a mayor election or a council election in the next period of time, the spirit of it is we're trying to pass it on. And what I think the commission was trying to do and others that have spoken is we're trying to get the best candidates, the best people to run. So the spirit of it is, what I'm trying to achieve is we'll do that. We're going to send a message that whatever triggers, we're going to try to achieve that. And so the next people running for office can understand that it won't be such a financial hardship in some ways to be able to serve.
My only caution would be if the council's considering this is I'm the city clerk has made a couple phone calls and we believe we could get it published, but I'm not sure if that has actually been confirmed yet.
We're waiting for the paper to confirm with us tomorrow that if we can get it published by Friday.
Well, the question is, what would it matter though if it's not becoming effective till 2015 anyway?
We still need it to be introduced and adopted.
No. I mean,
oh, if it's, well, because
yeah, what difference does it make? Why doesn't it just die and we wait a year, 2 years, like the vice mayor says, and just take it up again? Because it's going to become effective the 15 anyway.
You could certainly do that, unless with Councilmember Finter's amendment, it says after the next mayoral or council election. So if there is a special election called, it would be before January 2015 would be the implementation date.
And what I'm trying, Mayor, if I could... what I'm trying to send a message is I appreciate this commission. They went through a rough spot in trying to achieve this. We're trying to send a message to the community that we want the best people to run. As the mayor mentioned, we dropped those number of signatures to run. We're trying to send a message here. I don't want to wait two more years to try and send that message. In fact, probably we'll send the reverse message by as this goes down if the original motion and everything holds. So there is some, education and some trying to build something positive here, even though we're in a very difficult spot of, you know, how to implement it. So,
Councilor Higgins.
Just as a point, in 2 years, two of us will still be able to run again. So does that affect what your plan was?
Because it would be immediately after you run, it probably would become a campaign issue. And so.
No, I just want, you know, it's not like if we had a, you know, a five-year floating where none of us would be around, you know, it'd be different.
Mayor, I'm going to call a That's question. I'm going to call a question.
Yeah, let's call it. Sort it out. All right. The motion before us is to whether to accept the Independent Compensation Commission report for the salaries for the offices of mayor and council as delivered. Yes vote would be to accept it, no vote would be to reject it. Please vote. The vote is 3 ayes and 4 nays, with the motion fails with the mayor, Councilmember Kavanaugh, and Councilmember Richens voting aye. Okay, Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests to speak?
Yes. I'd like to make a motion.
Can we make a motion on an item that's not agendized? Can we call it? Because basically this is a reconsideration.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this is agendized, but we've turned it down. Is this a...
As I mentioned in my comments, I turned down the ordinance portion of it, not the report. And so now I'd like to make another attempt to see if I can get support. I don't even know. I haven't talked to folks on this.
Absolutely. I mean, why couldn't he make a motion? That happens.
I'm thinking of it as to make sure that it's...
I think the agenda reads, adopting an ordinance of the City Council acknowledging receipt of the report and recommendation of the Independent Compensation Commission and increasing the compensation for the offices of mayor and council. As long as the motion is with regard to that item, I think he can move forward Mayor. The question is, with going to your...
Well, wait a second. What is the motion, and how can you... Is this a motion for a new ordinance, or is this a motion for... What is the motion?
This is an... Well, I can say it. Now that we've had some feedback, I would like to amend the ordinance portion of... And come up with what I've mentioned before. So.
Okay, let me ask you. Then this is, if you're amending an ordinance, you're reintroducing an ordinance. You're reconsidering the ordinance with an amendment.
And I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, Councilmember Pinter, I think the motion will be to bring back an amended ordinance. We cannot amend the ordinance now. If any changes are made to the ordinance, it needs to be reintroduced and then posted.
Right.
Aren't you giving us direction to put this on the next... on Thursday is what you're really asking.
Yes,
to do.
I mean that's
what not,
we're,
that would
be my take
action, and that's what I that's
what
I'm making sure. I don't think you can vote on that amendment because I think you've already voted on the.
You need
on
to
the
amend
ordinance.
The motion before you took action on the main motion.
Yes.
So what we can do though is that Thursday, if the direction from the council is, we can place the item on the council meeting for Thursday, with what you're.
And that would be for reconsideration with an amendment.
Or a new ordinance.
Well,
or a new ordinance.
I believe that's
okay.
What
clean it up and just make
clean it up.
I believe that's what Councilmember Fincher is requesting. The question I have is there going to be direction for staff to publish an ordinance so that it, you know, is it going to be introduced on Thursday? As we discussed, there is a path that council can introduce and adopt before the end of the year. I don't know if council wants to do that, but if you do want to, that opportunity, we need to publish as soon as possible.
As soon as possible, meaning tomorrow? Give us a deadline.
When I talked to the paper, when I had my assistant call the newspaper today, we were asking about specific dates, if we could get it in Friday's paper, and they said they would get back to us. I didn't ask the question what was the earliest that we could get them to, but I can find out about that. We were thinking that the earliest that there would probably be a meeting would be Thursday, and so if we could get it in Friday, we could make, as Debbie said previously, either Friday the 21st or Monday the 24th.
So if we were to take action on a revised ordinance Thursday, you could publish Friday?
We're looking into, Mayor.
I'm sorry, what?
That's what we're looking into.
But, Mayor, realistically, the way that happens is we have to send it to the paper tomorrow.
Yeah.
So we would draft something tonight, tomorrow morning, get it to the paper. They would publish. Council then considers whether you want to introduce. If yes, we have it published. If you choose not to introduce, we don't. You know, we've incurred the cost of publishing.
So if council wants the option to even consider the action on Thursday, we would need direction today. Two things. One, to post the item for Thursday, and second, to go ahead and proceed with putting in the paper at least beginning tomorrow, or at least and contact them so we put the information for Friday. Now, if council decides on Thursday not to pursue it, I'm assuming we can essentially notice it has no meeting.
We don't have to agenda.
If that's the option that council wants to have, we would need to get that direction tonight.
Okay. Well, I'm going to look to the majority and see if that's. What you would have. Well, the idea is that we would prepare an amendment that Alex is doing. They would prepare it for this instruction to the staff would be to publish it. We would on Thursday formally either adopt it or not adopt it. But this is simply direction to go ahead and publish whatever the amendment that Alex is putting forth so it can meet a publishing deadline. We would take action on consider and take action on Thursday.
You're not locked into it.
You're not tying into anything. You're just.
So we need to have the option. If the council wants to can have the option, we need to start taking action tomorrow.
To agree to that.
And Thursday, you are introducing if right. We go forward.
And then we'd have to have a special council meeting to accept or reject.
I'm for that.
Well, the majority is. I'm not.
Yep.
But,
no, me either.
I think you had one shot at it. I think this is.
Okay, let me do something different, Mayor.
This is working against the process, but, you know,
Mayor,
I was on the losing side.
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. I want to withdraw that. I don't want to go down that road. This has already been so painful. Please don't do it on my recommendation because I'm opposed to it. No hard feelings for me.
All right. Ms. Crocker, do we have any requests to speak?
No request, Mayor.
Okay, we have a motion adjourned from the Vice Mayor.
What's your request?
Oh, I'm sorry.
You got to turn it in.
No, we're adjourned.
Sir. You have to have it in. Seriously?
No. Yeah.
still listening.
Go ahead, but sir, you need to turn it in before we go. But go ahead. What do you have, sir? First of all, say,
Mayor,
if you can introduce who you are.
I beg your pardon?
Introduce who you are for the record.
Right. I'm Hariaksha Gregor Knauer. Although I live in Tempe, with the redistricting, my horizon is broadening to include Mesa LD 26. It's about the encouraging public transportation, this light rail extension, lauding and applauding, and the bicycle plan that the mayor introduced, something about 5% of our commuting by bicycle by 2022. Hurrah, hurrah, hurrah. And I'm just asking for shade. Shade trees and bike racks be shaded. I mean, emails and phone just seem to go into a void. So I'm just grateful for this opportunity to meet you face-to-face to put in a simple request for some shade over bike racks. Okay.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay, we have a motion and a second to adjourn. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you.